and welcome to Batflips and Nerds Season Preview Podcast, the baseball podcast with a British twist. You can find us on @Batflips_Nerds on Twitter and on Facebook at facebook.com/Batflips and Nerds. I'm your host, Tom Pringle. You might have heard in our previous episodes, there are plenty of other podcasts out there already producing their season previews. They'll probably have more in-depth and have more analysis. Here at Batflips and Nerds, we decided to try and do something a little bit different, inviting British fans of teams to come onto the podcast and talk about their team. We've got no clever order for this, it's who's available at the time. So without further delay, joining me to talk all about the Tampa Bay Rays is Rob Navera. How are you, Rob?
Not so bad, thank you. You?
Yes, very good. So who broke David Price? Was it you or us?
Yeah, whisper it carefully, isn't it? I think everyone's saying Tommy John, but Boston fans at the moment. Yeah, he's saying it's an old thing that's been going on, but I don't know. I'm my money's on you guys.
I think it's got to be. I think it must be cumulative, though, mustn't it? I think there was a Grant Brisby SB Nation article that you put out saying the history of people who've gone from a second opinion to Dr. Andrews, and essentially it's not good news.
It's not good news, is it? Plus, you know, Dr. Andrews needs to pay the bills, so he's got to do his surgery somewhere.
That's a very good point. I never really looked at it that way, but I suppose it's kind of like when you go and see your GP and they go, oh yeah, take his antibiotics, come back in 2 days' time. For them, it's the safest bet, isn't it? If they say there's nothing wrong with you, go away, and it all goes wrong,
absolutely,
they're in trouble.
Yeah, that's it. Dr. Andrews making his money.
Oh, bless him. Right, so what made you a Tampa Bay Rays fan then?
Well, a lot of self-hate mostly, I think it's fair to say. I was a long-time fan of baseball in general. It was, stemmed from when I was, you know, used to go over to the US with the family as a kid for kind of holidays, kind of toured everywhere, did a little bit of everything, saw a lot of the states. And it was just on TV, and it was just something I kind of watched just in between sort of going out and doing things. There's a lot of Cubs on at the time. This is sort of 10, 15 years ago, maybe a bit longer. And I just liked it. I just sat there and it just engrossed me. I just sat there and it just happened in my face. And I was kind of, yep, all right, I'm going to accept some of this. And then a few years ago, I had a chance to go out to Florida as we're doing a trip to the Keys. So we flew into Miami, drove down to the Keys, and then drove back up the other coast. You know, went with manatees and did all that sort of stuff, the touristy things. By Tampa, and then flew out from Orlando. So I'd always wanted to go to a ball game, and I had this choice. It was going to be either Miami or it was going to be Tampa. And the choice came down to which is a team more like sort of what fits me at the end. And listening to what Jasmine said on the Giants pod a couple of days ago, she was saying it kind of resonated with her football team, and that works for me as well. That's a lot of what it was like. I'm a Reading fan, which again, I sort of kind of hate myself a little bit for doing it. But it's that buying low, selling high. You know, there's kind of an honesty to it without having to spend loads of money and being the plucky underdog. So I almost on a flip of a coin at that point went with Tampa Bay. We took in a game at the Trop. We saw Cleveland Indians. The Rays won, and that was it from there. So from the moment I decided I'm going to book these tickets, that was it. I kind of focused myself on the Rays and started watching them almost exclusively. And that's it. And that was 3, 4, 5 years ago now. Went back again last year and caught 10 games while I was out there. And yeah, just absolutely hooked.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. It's very similar method to myself. I mean, not so much the Red Sox, but looking, I've got very much a passion for the Padres as well. Mm. And I think it's that attitude, like you say, of plucky underdogs, the team that nobody really expects. Yeah. Do you think that's like a British trait, or do you think that's just a trait that folk like you and I have?
I think you're absolutely right. You know, born to be fourth place. That's, you know, what we as a nation are. And I think it's fantastic. But, you know, we love an underdog. We always have, you know. And as you say, you've got a fondness for the Padres. I kind of like the Rockies as well, you know, for a sort of similar reason. There's something about them I quite like.
How do you take in your baseball when you're back in the UK now?
Well, I work shifts. I work quite late in the evenings. So I finish usually 11, sort of half 11, something like that. Do some daytime shifts as well. But that gets me in perfect time to sit down, you know, get something to eat, and then the baseball's on for the 7 past midnight first pitch. So usually I take it in via, as you know, no uncommon story here, it's MLB.tv. Usually watch it on the Fire Stick. Sometimes I'll have it next to my screen at work on an iPad. Sorry. And then I watch kind of sort of 5-6 innings most nights, and then the weekend games I watch them on all the way through.
Do you watch any game or just the Rays?
Mostly the Rays. I'll sit and watch the Rays in the evenings, but if they're not on, I've actually got minor league TV as well, so I usually actually watch Durham Bulls or Montgomery Biscuits and see what's coming up. But if I'm off on a weekend and there's a day game on, Rays playing in the evening, I'll whatever happens to be on BT Sport, I'll pick that up. And I kind of have a fondness for watching National League games. Don't get to see much of them when watching the Rays, so it's kind of like a forbidden fruit. I'll go over and watch some National League games for a bit.
What's the appeal for the National League then?
I love watching pitchers bat. I think it's mostly hilarious. You know, there's probably the finest moment from last year was Colon sending that, getting his first homer. And that was, you know, of highlights of the year, that's got to be right up there. So it's just because I don't see them very much. You know, it's players that you know, I'm aware of, but, you know, I don't get to see them much playing against AL teams. So I like to watch an NL every now and again.
I do completely agree with the fascination of watching pitchers hit. I know people get a real sad on about it and say, oh, we don't want to see that. We want to see dingers. Mm. And it's like, yeah, I kind of do. But I don't know. Maybe, again, that's me harking back to my love of Test cricket and watching the bowler that stays in for so long at the end and can just keep batting. Mm-hmm. I mean, to watch like Bumgarner and Arrieta and Wainwright be able to hit, it's just fantastic. I love it.
Yeah, no, I get what you mean. Absolutely. I think, you know, they're talking at the moment about the National League taking on the designated hitter, and realistically, as the game as a whole, you know, take out the novelty value, I kind of see it. You know, it does sort of make sense.
Yeah.
But you know, could they make like, you know, no DH Thursdays or something? You know, across the whole league, everyone gets a go.
I think it's also to extend guys' careers, isn't it? It's to give them a chance to still play.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you without Ortiz, you know, you would have given up years ago if you couldn't DH.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. So going back to your Rays then, so what happened last season?
Last season was, you always have to talk about the Rays as being a perfect storm for anything, for having a good season. And I think last season was the absolute polar opposite. I don't think the Rays are nearly as bad as the season they had. The Rays have always been about good starting pitching. And that was from day one last year. That was obviously way off. So Archer couldn't find the strike zone for Toffee. Drew Smyly might as well have been throwing underhand, you know, the number of home runs he let off. So it started off really badly with the pitching. I didn't think that what they did in the postseason was too bad. You know, they looked at the previous year, which was great pitching. A lot of kind of 1-0 win losses or 2-1 losses. So they said, okay, we're going to go out, we're going to get some more offense. And they did. They went out and they got Logan Morrison. They got Corey Dickerson, they got Miller. It all seemed to make sense. And then, you know, on opening day, Logan Morrison went to pot. And, you know, if you look at his first month, he had a 100 batting average with no home runs and no RBIs. And just, you know, that's unbelievable. So that first month was horrendous. And then the injury crisis started, you know, and the injuries were, you know, every team has their injuries. But the ones the Rays had were, it wasn't the Tim Beckhams or the Nick Franklins, the kind of the also-rans and the fillers. It was the big guys, you know. Cobb was out with Tommy John. We had Boxberger out the entire season. Kiermaier broke his wrist. Sousa broke his hip. Desmond Jennings, who's been out, it seems, for the last 3 years solidly, was still out. Forsyth got his shoulder broken and a hit by pitch. Logan Morrison did his forearm. You know, we finally traded to fill the whole awful hole we had at shortstop. Matt Duffy got instantly injured, so it's kind of this awful storm of everything possibly going wrong did go wrong. The knock on from having the problem with our starting pitching not doing what they normally do is the bullpen was completely blown by the All-Star break, and so it all just went horribly wrong. And I think the team isn't nearly quite as bad as last year made them look.
No, I kind of liken the Rays and teams like the Rays, almost like a very, very fragile house of cards. Mm-hmm. And the fact that as soon as you take one card away, that's it. It's all going to plummet. And they kind of need that look, like you say, with the injuries, et cetera. Mm. They've got a very high reliability on platooning as well when it comes to strengths and weaknesses of guys and switching guys around. Mm-hmm. And I think as soon as you start to lose some of those pieces, their weaknesses get exposed. But yeah, it was pretty disappointing in terms of competitiveness in the AL East, because you had all of the four teams really going for it towards the end. It would have been kind of fun to have the Rays in there as well. I'm sure you would have agreed that as well.
The end of the season was horrendous. I mean, the one thing we were playing at the end of the season was for draft picks. And then, you know, after losing nine on the bounce, we decided to go and win three of our last four and lose two places in the draft picks. So we can't even lose properly, you know.
I think, whilst I listened to the other day, I think it's Effective Loire, where they're talking about the Braves, and the Braves did exactly the same, didn't they? They went from, I think they went from second to 10th or something on the final day. It's like, how do you do that? How stupid. So you did quickly mention there about this season, the better team. So what do you reckon for this season?
I'm not talking playoffs, you know, that would be a joke. You know, no one thinks it's going there. I'm thinking, if you look at the last few seasons, you know, 80, 77, 92, 90 before that. We're not getting back to that, but I think if we're somewhere closer to that sort of 77 wins, I think that'd be more appropriate. 75, 77, something like that. Yeah, with a little bit of dignity.
Paqueta's notoriously high on the Rays, and I'm guessing it's mainly because the front office seem to use similar methods to Baseball Prospectus and Fangraphs, etc.
Yeah.
So all their projection systems will be coming around the same. And they've currently got you tagged at 84 wins, which would put you just behind the Rangers in the wildcard race. You've been third place for a wildcard spot. Do you think there's much chance of 84 wins?
I think that's optimistic. I think it's very optimistic. I think you need an absolute perfect storm for that. And I think if you'd put the Rays in most of the other divisions, you'd have an outside chance. But looking at what the rest of the division is at the moment, the AL East, I don't think there's any chance of playing enough games where they're going to be competitive to have a chance of getting to 84 wins. So I would almost rule that out personally.
Well, you heard it here first. The Rays aren't going to make it. So let's talk about your lineup and your roster then. So who's some of the outside players who aren't being recognised for their talents on your lineup?
Outside players, you got I think. It's someone who is recognised, but possibly doesn't get his day in the sun quite as much, is Jake Odorizzi. The guy is absolutely astounding pitcher. Up for the All-Star break, he was ERA of 2.71. He's been excellent. It's kind of a running joke for Rays fans that Jake Odorizzi doesn't get his run support. Even when his ERA is high, it's almost as if those hits that should be errors but somehow get scored as hits, they always seem to come against Jake Odorizzi. So I think he's already kind of, everyone knows he is a great pitcher. I think he is yet greater than that. I think he's one guy who really is quite underrated for what he does.
So it's not going to be Chris Archer getting his first win against the Red Sox since his opening start against them.
I think he's overrated, if anything.
I couldn't believe that stat the other night. I was so surprised.
Same, yeah. I mean, he's had an excellent career. I mean, yeah, he had a very, very bad down year last year, but he's been brilliant. But then he's been a victim of our horrendous bullpen. So I think if you're probably looking to where he's left games, he's probably left plenty in the lead. But yeah, the bullpen has not helped him.
Yeah, very surprising. Okay, then. So what's your one bold or wild prediction for this season then?
Bold or wild projection, I'm going to say the Rays will not finish in the bottom three of the AL.
Okay.
So, yeah, there will be three worst teams this year. I think one of them will probably be the Angels. And the other two, I said, probably Oakland. I'm not sure who else. There's going to be another one, though. But the Rays will not be in the bottom three, I reckon.
Yeah, I think you'll be above. Yeah, I'd go with that. Oakland, maybe the Angels, White Sox.
Possibly White Sox. I think we'll be. I think White Sox will do a little better than everyone's predicted. You know, I think. One big guy doesn't make the team, but I think that's a fair shout too. Yeah. I think the Rangers are going to have a pretty bad year. I think if you, I was looking at their results from last year, they had an incredible amount of one run wins. I think some of them are going to turn around. I think the Rangers are going to have a poor year.
Okay, then. So we'll go for a dual one there. Then the fact that the Rays will finish above the bottom three in the AL,
yeah,
and the Rangers will have a poor year as well.
Yeah.
Sweet. Right then. So getting onto the silly ones then. Who's going to get the kebab after a night out?
That thousand yard stare in Logan Morrison. He's the loud one in the group. He's a big guy. I kind of see him. You know that kind of night where everyone's had enough. It's 3 a.m. and he's still, no, we've got to go on, And I think he's the one who grabs that big, fat, greasy kebab. You know, everyone's trying to get to the taxi and suddenly turn around, there's Logan Morrison with it dribbling down his chin, you know, charging towards the next nightclub.
I hate that guy. And it's like everyone is completely blottoed. And he's just like, I don't actually need any more booze. Why are we going to carry on? What is the point? I recently went out on a night out. Sorry to digress. And I got back in the morning and my wife said to me, what time did you get back? I said, I have no idea. So I pulled the receipts out of my pocket of my jeans. And the only way I could work out where I'd been was to look at the receipts from the credit cards. And at one point, I had a receipt at midnight from one bar and then a receipt at 2 o'clock from another bar. Between the two bars, I must have walked, and I walked past the taxi rank. So blind drunk, I still continued past the taxi rank and continued drinking. But I think I might actually be that guy, which is quite disappointing to
That's
have
a worry.
That.
It's a worry, yeah.
So speaking of taxis, who's going to claim not to have any cash during the taxi ride home?
I'm split on this one. First, it's got to be possibly Nick Franklin, who has been reported in the off-season has actually been driving a taxi. He was driving for Uber over the off-season. He's done that last couple of seasons. He's got a fairly strong rating. He's got a 4.8, so, you know, fair play to him. So, you know, if he's driving the taxi, he probably wouldn't need the money. Other option, I say, it's probably got to be Stuart Sternberg, the owner.
Yeah.
You know, he's second lowest payroll for a very long time.
I just decided to have a very quick look at Franklin's contract. So he's on it's a $500,000 contract for the year.
Yeah,
but, I mean, come on.
But he needs an extra tenner from a taxi ride. Yeah.
Maybe work on your swing instead. okay, so who's going to avoid the night out and stay in to watch Great British Bake Off?
Again, split on two here. There's possibly Steven Souza Jr. Just based on his Twitter account. There's an awful lot of. He seems to be a very religious chap. He seems to be very focused on tweeting. The kind of things that make you want to, you know, those expressions and phrases that are supposed to G you on. So there's a lot of that going on. So I'm not sure he's the type to be out particularly. And my other option was the walking replay man, Kevin Kiermaier, who's recently bought a house and shacked up with his missus. So I think that's, you know, he's probably dead to the gang now.
Is that going to destroy his arm?
I hope not. You know, he's bulked up. That's what I'm worried about. He's bulked up. He's got big. His shoulders are much bigger. I'm worried. Yeah, I'm worried we're going to lose something in Kiermaier this year.
Bit of speed out of him from there.
Yeah, that's a worry. But no, he's staying at home. He's got the new missus. He's feet up. It's gone. He's been lost to his group of friends.
I like how this is split. So it's gone from people saying, yeah, he's the old man of the team. He's not going to go out. And it's now very much twisting to Instagram or Twitter posts of, oh, he's just bought a house. I've just noticed they've got a dog, so they're going to be a bit more relaxed with that.
Yeah.
I do like this. It's good. Okay, so who's the Alan Partridge character who's going to be the nutcase driving barefoot to Dundee?
Again, I keep splitting these, and I can't pick. I'm between Blake Snell because he looks like he's been bullied, and Colby Rasmus, who's kind of the hillbilly pin-up.
Okay.
I mean, Blake Snell, he's got that look, that kind of, he's got the look of a kid who was pushed around a lot. And I'm sure he wasn't. He's tall, you know, he's now a Major League Baseball player, but he just got that kind of look, you know, he's going to snap one day and then, you know, he's going to go for it.
He wore his rucksack at school with two straps.
Yeah, him, that guy, yeah.
Okay, then, can you recommend any Twitter accounts, blogs, beat writers you enjoy whilst following the team?
Yeah, and we were talking just a moment ago. The Mark Topkins, a beat writer for the Rays. I like that he's kind of doesn't have any friendliness towards the fans. You know, he doesn't suffer fools very lightly, and he will call them out on Twitter. I quite enjoy that. Mark Topkin's good to follow. There's D-Bay Rays. I enjoy them. They do a lot of bits on the Rays. I follow MLB GIFs. I think it's just a fantastic way of seeing some of the more interesting bits that don't necessarily, you know, make game winners. You know, it's GIFs of the MLB. SLP Puig dancing around a base. It's the other bits. So I quite enjoy following them.
Yeah, I think it's quite nice, isn't it? After GIF of change ups and home runs, yeah. Like you say, it's quite nice to have the random little ones of silliness going on.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Nice one. Well, thanks for that. And thank you all for joining us on this episode of Backflips and Nerds. I'd like to thank Rob for joining me. Where can they find you, Rob?
I'm on Twitter at Rob Navarra. That's NOVERRAZ.
Thank you very much. And I've been your host, Tom Pringle. And you can find me on Twitter at Pedroia's Face. That's second baseman for the Boston Red Sox. You can contact the show on Twitter at Batflips_Nerds. On Facebook at facebook.com/Batflips and Nerds. You'll also find details about our blog there. You can email us on batflipsnerds@gmail.com. And you can subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher. Just search for Batflips and Nerds. And please do give us a ratings. It makes easier for people to find our podcast. Tell your friends about us. Doesn't matter if they aren't British, we do welcome all sorts. Once again, thanks for listening and goodbye.